Okay, I want to acknowledge everyone for being here. Better to light a candle than curse the darkness. So we'll light a candle. Violet is my favorite color. I want to acknowledge my wife for coming with me. She got sick the day before, almost couldn't make it. My computer crashed, almost lost everything that I wrote. But everything came together as it should in the right moment at the right time. So here we are. I want to acknowledge Joe and Artie for this wonderful event that you've put together for us. And Joe, for that great presentation that you just gave a while ago. Let's give Joe a big hand for that. That was a lofty presentation, I'll tell you what, to move into the higher spheres of Shambhala. And I wanted to acknowledge all of you. I know you've made it quite a ways. How far did you come?
5 hours?
Eight hours.
10 hours. Yeah, but now that you're here, what difference does it make? Doesn't matter at all, does it, Emmanuel?
No.
All right, I want to talk a little bit about what Joe was mentioning about Shambhala energy coming down and why we have to have a gathering. Why one person cannot handle all that power. How many little wires do you think are in this cord, Asaf?
Is this a power cord?
Yeah, power
Three.
Cord. Okay. How many wires do you think, Adam, in an electrical cord of any kind?
Wires?
Wires. Those little bitty wires that are all bonded together.
So much more.
12, maybe?
I don't know.
24.
24, really?
Everybody knows that. Yeah, 24. 24 little wires all working together. Now, what would happen if Shambhala energy came through that electricity or power from Hoover Dam or wherever our energy comes through from alternating current? If it came through just one of those little wires, what would happen to that little bitty...
Burn.
It would probably burn it.
Burn.
It would burn out. It could not handle all of that energy. But 24 can. And that's why there has to be a gathering. Besides the fact that it's a lot more fun. Nobody wants to be saved all by themselves in the corner. How much fun is that? Not fun either. Okay, so... there has to be a group, the gathering of lights, which is what this book that I've written is all about, the gathering of lights and the dissemination of that energy that comes through not just one, but 24, and then multitudes beyond that. Who can give me a definition or a differentiation between, I know you can, Tyler, between direct current and alternating current? Anybody here know the difference?
Yes.
Well, Asaf, you just know everything, don't you?
Adam, what's direct current? Do you have any idea?
Direct current is one single power surge all the way through the line.
Is single power what?
Single power surge all the way through the line.
From positive. A single power surge?
One directional.
Okay.
Yes.
If I have... a cassette player, like they used to have in the 70s. It can run by batteries, or I can plug it in. If I run on batteries, is that direct current or alternating current?
Direct.
It's direct current. Now, what happens after, let's say, I play that cassette player for a week? What happens to it on direct current?
The battery dies.
The battery dies and the whole thing shuts down. All right. Now, are we operating on direct current or alternating current?
Direct.
Alternating.
I would say alternating.
As individuals.
I think we're direct.
Direct.
We're on direct current. Because after a while, 120 years, what happens to our body? It wears out. Okay, so we're operating right now on direct current. And even as a group, we would be operating on a group direct current. We may be able to extend our life cycle a little bit, but not indefinitely. Now, if I take that cassette player and plug it in the wall, and we go to alternating current, how long will it last?
As long as you pay the bill.
Assuming I pay the bill, Ed, how many cassettes can I play? I'm plugged into the wall.
Indefinite.
All right. Now, here we are. We're all masters in training. And you can become a master by going through your fifth initiation, your resurrection, renunciation, all those things on your own. Or we can tap into alternating current, which comes from where?
Light of Christ.
Source.
Right. The love of Christ through the hierarchy from Shambhala, from Sanat Kumara, all the way down. There's a direct link, and there's a power surge that comes through into this group that's collected, this gathering of lights. And what happens?
You have to plug in, huh?
Yeah, we got to plug in. We got to go from direct current, which is has a beginning, middle, end, which is a very short duration, to alternating current, which keeps us alive indefinitely. But what do we have to do?
Plug in.
That means every one of those 24 little wires has to be able to receive current without resistance. If you have a wire with resistance, what happens?
Shorts it all up.
Energy flow is blocked. Okay? So that's the power of a group working on each member, each little wire, each master in training, to eliminate any particular flaw, resistance, problem, personality flaw that we might observe in each other until we can carry this charge. And when that happens, what's it going to feel like? Joe is just getting into this when his time was up. What's it going to feel like when this electrical current from Shambhala, first ray energy, penetrates this group of gathered lights? What's it going to feel like?
Electrification?
It's going to kill us.
Power.
Well, if you were all by yourself, yeah, you'd probably be electrocuted. Mm-hmm. But the energy is disseminated, not just from you, but Ed gets his share, Joe gets some, Emmanuel gets some, Michael gets some. Everybody gets a portion of it so that it's spread out, and we all feel this electrical surge, this current that comes down when we tap in to the power of God.
Group will and power. Yeah.
Well, we just have to will it and make it happen. We have to prepare our hearts, minds, and souls to make it happen. Okay. Let's see, what else have we got? How many here believe it could happen? Raise your hand.
Eventually.
Susan?
Yes.
Read what's on that cover of that book.
It always seems impossible until it's done. Nelson Mandela.
I carry this with me every day. It's got all my notes and thoughts. Because it always seems impossible until it's done. And then when it's done, people say, oh, heck, I knew that. It happened all along. I don't know why I didn't think of it, but, you know, it's like electricity. You know, once everybody's got it in their home, it's second nature. But before, you know, 200 years ago, if you'd have thought about or talked about alternating current, people would have thought you were crazy. In fact, they did. They thought Nikola Tesla was crazy, and it took a real surge of his energy to make it happen. Okay. Over the last 2 years, my triad, and I also want to acknowledge my triad, and Ed's a part of my triad. When I mentioned on a Thursday night that I was going to do a presentation, I said, you know, if you guys can think of anything that you'd like me to talk about, of special interest from this book, The Externalization of the Hierarchy, send it to me, and I'll talk about it. And the next day, I got a flow of source material from this book, from Ed, from Cindy, from Ken. They all wanted to contribute and participate, so I have to acknowledge my personal Violet Flame Triad for the work that they have done and what they have contributed. So we have 100 lessons out of this book, and what I wanted to do is present just like a book report of some of the highlights that we have read and studied, and we're only about 4/5 of the way through of this book, so there'll be other things that we haven't discovered along the way. Okay, so the title of my presentation is The Creative Sounds of God. I'm going to talk a lot about sound and light and color. And we're going to quote from the Tibetan Who Is a Voice, crying in the wilderness with higher knowledge, higher truths, higher ideals, and opening up the way that humanity can go to take its next step in human evolution. So I'm going to read a lot of this because that's kind of how it's outlined. I don't want to just paraphrase what he said and lose some of the meaning. So, just who is the planetary hierarchy? This is from the book, The Externalization of the Hierarchy. The hierarchy itself is the result of human activity and aspiration. It has been created by humanity. Its members are human beings who have lived, suffered, achieved, failed, attained success, endured death, and passed through the experience of the resurrection. They are the same in nature as are those who struggle today with the processes of disintegration, but who, nevertheless, have in them the seed of resurrection. All states of consciousness are known to them, and they have mastered them all. They have mastered them as men and women, thus guaranteeing to humanity the same ultimate achievement. What one has done, all can do. The hierarchy is a community of successful men and women who earlier submitted themselves to the purificatory fires of daily living, working out their own salvation as men and women of affairs, businessmen, husbands, wives, farmers, and rulers, and they know life, therefore, in all its phases and gradation. Their great master is the Christ. They have passed through the initiations of the new birth, the baptism, the transfiguration, the final crucifixion, and the resurrection. They differ from the Christ only in the fact that he, the first of our humanity to attain divinity, the eldest in the great family of brothers, the master of the masters, the teacher of angels and of men, was deemed so pure and so enlightened that he was permitted to embody for us this great cosmic principle of love. These perfected men therefore exist. They are more than men because the divine spirit in them registers all stages of consciousness and awareness, subhuman, human, and superhuman. This inclusive development enables them to work with men, to contact humanity at need, and to know how to lead us forward through the phases of resurrection. So they're like our big brothers, and they want to reach down and pull us up, but we just have to be available, make ourselves okay, one hand up to God and one hand out. On one hand, the negative side, we have the masses, the churches, the religions. On the positive side, we have the esotericists and the occultants and the planetary hierarchy. The problem before the hierarchy at the beginning of the new Aquarian Age, the age of synthesis and light, was how to fuse and blend these two distinct groups or states of consciousness from the hierarchy to humanity. The gap was way too big. They couldn't bridge it. It was the realization of the need for a bridging group which would be neither entirely negative or entirely positive, which prompted some of the masters who are connected with the hierarchy to form the new group of world servers. These people belong to neither group, and yet they can function more or less in relation to both. It has now been deemed possible to form groups within the new group of world servers, whose members can begin to prepare themselves to express both the negative and the positive. the material and the spiritual, with a measure of success that in due time there can exist on earth a replica of the hierarchy, its methods, and its techniques. That would be us. We're a group within the group of New World Servers. And don't we aspire to be of service to humanity, to do the greatest good that we can possibly imagine, and work together? That qualifies us for one of these seed groups for which I have made myself personally responsible. They are bridging groups between mankind and the hierarchy. The Tibetan says, "It is my task to mobilize these new groups of world servers and men and women of goodwill so that they may stand as a great army of implacable spiritual will." He says there are many thousands who have dreamed the same dream, seen the same vision, believed the same divine possibilities which are latent in all human hearts. The best is yet to be. The hierarchy stands, no longer watching and waiting, but acting today with impelling wisdom and fixed decision in order to strengthen the hands of their workers in every field of human activity, political, educational, religious, so that they may take right action and correctly influence human thinking. Now, if you want to know what the hierarchy looks like, everybody has, there's one of these books, I think I've got three or four of them out there. Go to page 224. You have one back there already, Adam. You can look at that. Page 224, and you'll see a complete rendering of the spiritual and solar, the planetary hierarchies, beginning with the solar logos, down to the planetary hierarchy, where we find Sanat Kumara, the Lord of the World, the Ancient of Days. Below him, we have the three Kumaras. And below those, we have the three departmental heads. The will aspect, or the Manu. The love-wisdom aspect, ruled by the Bodhisattva, also known as what? Who?
Christ.
And the intelligence aspect, the Mahakoan, the Lord of Civilization. And below these three departmental heads, we have different masters until we come up with the divine number. What's the divine number?
12 plus 1.
49. Right. Well, 4 plus 1, that's a good number too. All the numbers are good. But there happens to be 49 main members of the planetary hierarchy. And then below that we have grades of initiates, grades of disciples, masters in training, and then average humanity. So you can study that, and this will tell you just what the planetary hierarchy looks like. And what does the planetary hierarchy do? One, the hierarchy stands as a wall between humanity and excessive evil. Two, the hierarchy works constantly at the task of awakening the consciousness aspect in all forms so that it is awakened, expanded, and intelligently employed. Three, the hierarchy directs world events as far as mankind will permit so that the unfolding consciousness may express itself through developing an adequate social, political, religious, and economic world forms. Four, the hierarchy directs and controls unfolding cyclic cultures and their resultant civilizations. Five, the hierarchy receives and transmits energies and consequent forces from Shambhala, with resultant effects within the hierarchy itself, and also with effects upon humanity, upon the soul of all things to be found in all kingdoms. So that power percolates down from Shambhala to the hierarchy, down through all the kingdoms, including the mineral. They also hold... number six. The hierarchy receives that esoteric fire of God, that electrical power, which brings to an end cycles, ideologies, organizations, and civilizations when the right time comes. These activities have all been carried out on behind the veil and are only a small part of the total work of the hierarchy. They also hold within themselves as a group the seeds of the coming civilization and the germ of the new culture.
Curse.
Now you begin to understand the purpose and the value of the new molecular order being presented to you over the last 20 years, as we are instrumental in creating a new culture that will raise the consciousness of humanity. Forget not that divine energy must make its impact upon human minds. These minds are the only available instrument through which the will of God can express itself. How else could it do it? You know, look around. We're the instruments. The best instruments, the best tools that the hierarchy could come up with is humanity, the human mind. Response will be compatible with the quality and the intention of these minds. The message here: prepare your minds and purify your thoughts to become a qualified instrument for spiritual receptivity. Why? Because pure minds create pure thought forms. I have cited earlier the foundational truths upon which the new religion will rest. The science of invocation and evocation will take the place of what is now called prayer and worship, and when effective, will evoke the response of spiritual beings who can walk again openly among men and thus establish a close relationship and a constant communication between humanity and the spiritual hierarchy. The demand today is for group work, group good, group knowledge, group contact with the divine, group salvation, group understanding, and group relationship to God and the spiritual hierarchy. Only then will the power be able to penetrate the gathering of lights as it does the wires in that power cord. With the two spiritual centers, the hierarchy and humanity, working together in full consciousness and understanding, the kingdom of God will then be functioning upon the earth. Those who have overcome the pulls of Maya and glamour of the senses may go forth to heal and serve. Every initiate is a magnetic healer. This is a statement of fact. All members of the hierarchy share in common the power to heal. So when this power from Shambhala surges through this molecular construct, this molecular order, do you think we will have power to heal? What do you think, Artie?
Sure.
Sure. Why not? Well, wouldn't we have the same powers that those who share their energy with us have? I would think so. Think about all the power to overcome death, the power to live beyond 120 years. My people shall live to be the age of a tree, says in the Old Testament. How old can trees get to be?
Thousands.
Chantry, how old can a tree get to be?
A lot.
Thousand years.
Thousands of years.
All right. Now, these are people that haven't attained masterhood, but they are referred to as saved by grace. They're under the umbrella of the hierarchy, and they have that energy surging through them, through the words and the powers of the hierarchy. So the same blessings that belong to the members of the fifth kingdom will be transferred to us as long as we are receptive and follow higher will. These words, it says, let pain bring due reward of light and love. Let the soul control the outer form and life and all events, and bring to light the love which underlies the happenings of the time. Let vision come and insight. Let the future stand revealed. Let inner union demonstrate and outer cleavages be gone. Let love prevail. Let all men and women love. These words may seem inadequate, but said with power and understanding of their significance and with potency of mind and heart behind them, they can prove unbelievably potent in the life of the one who says them. My brothers and sisters, you cannot evade the sacrifice required of you in the long run, even if you have evaded it until now. The Tibetan talks about two major approaches. An approach, I'll read on and you'll see what an approach is. Two major approaches found in past history of our race, where first race Shambhala energy had a direct interplay in raising the consciousness of humanity. The first great approach of the divine directly to man caused the appearance of the human soul and created the fourth kingdom in nature, the human kingdom, in the days of Lemuria. It would have taken humanity thousands and thousands of years, but the hierarchy through Shambhala, using first ray energy, and they just kind of like did a Frankensteinian surge through humanity, and they woke those lower thinking, less evolved planetary personages. They woke them up, and they said, "Oh, hey man, I'm a living soul. How are you doing, living soul? I'm doing fine, man. Hey, I can talk. Well, so can I. Well, what else can we do?" And they just went on to discover what humans discover about themselves, which before had been a mystery. Eons passed while primitive man continued to evolve, and the second great approach took place 2,000 years ago, demonstrated through the Christ Spirit with his appeal in the words, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He urges those earnestly seeking enlightenment and liberation to move forward into the light through the gate of initiation and on to that path which shineth more and more until the perfect day. So even though we're connected to members of the fifth kingdom, the planetary hierarchy, we still have to develop ourselves and go through our own initiations as well. This is just kind of a temporary thing. So your progress is not curtailed, it's sped up. From that moment, men have found the way and have moved out of the human kingdom into the spiritual. The kingdom of man and the kingdom of God were brought into relationship. The greatest spiritual approach, we're talking about the third one, of all time, has shown itself to be possible, an approach for which the initiates and masters have for centuries been preparing is now close at hand. But its date is dependent upon the activity of the new group of world servers and the molecular order and the spiritual tension which they can achieve. This third approach will have two primary results. One, it will bring about a closer relation between those great lives who embody the will of God and are custodians of the divine purpose, and those who embody the love of God and are custodians of the immediate plan for humanity. So it's going to bring together first and second rays. First ray energy is just too potent for most people. Huh, Michael? Well, yeah, well, I mean, you could maybe handle some of it. But for the average person, it's got to be balanced and neutralized slightly with second ray energy.
I just did not find out.
And two, it will bring about a closer relation between mankind and the hierarchy. Let's see here. Oh, not this book. Now, which members of the Masters or the Fifth Kingdom are going to incarnate, and how is that going to happen? It says here, the senior members of the hierarchy will not at first be the ones who will make the needed approach. Under their direction and their close supervision, this approach will be made in the early stages by initiates of and under the degree of the third initiation, and also by those disciples who will be chosen and designated to implement their efforts and so will work under their direction. Members of the hierarchy, whether working in the early stages or later on when the true externalization takes place, will work as members of the human family and not as proclaimed members of the kingdom of God or of souls known to us as the hierarchy. They will appear in office, of some kind or another. They will be the current politicians, businessmen, financiers, religious teachers, and churchmen. They will be scientists and philosophers, college professors, educators, and on and on and on. So members of the hierarchy will incarnate and fulfill different positions on the planet, and they will make their presence known. But they won't go around saying, "Hey, I'm a member of the kingdom of God." They won't go around doing anything like that, because they're gonna work very subjectively. But we will know who they are, because we'll be able to study their works and their actions and their energies.